It's 11:16 on this beautiful, cold, wet Tuesday morning.
It is Tuesday.
I need to get on with the program because, wow, it is Tuesday. And, of course, I am not alone on this beautiful Tuesday, joined by the beautiful queen with big, fluffy, curly hair. How are you?
Come on, can you just don't stop? I'm very well, my sister queen. I am. It feels beautiful today. Chilly, but there's something else in the atmosphere. I just feel I'm excited about that something else. I don't know what to call it yet.
Yeah.
So I'm like just riding on that wave of something else.
Yeah. I love that. I love that for you.
You know, when you have this that contentment, the joy. Mm-hmm. I feel that.
Yeah. Sure.
It's different.
I love that for you. Right. So if you're tuning in for the first time, my guest today is Liesel Snyman, who is the founder and CEO of Kintikeroy Consulting, and she's also an author of
Beautifully Flawed.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes, and she is hosting a beautiful conference this coming Saturday.
I am so excited about Saturday's conference. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, the Lord has certainly done extraordinary things.
Yeah.
And there's just such an expectancy for what is going to happen. I think our hearts are open to receive from the Lord.
Yeah.
And that excitement is what excites me.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does. It does. So, right? So yeah. Today we're removing the layers around financial health.
Ooh,
right?
You're not this topic.
You know, it's September. We need this kind of topic. We need this topic.
Yeah.
Financial health check. We need it. Now, financial wealth and health is, you know, luxury, not just for the wealthy. It is a basic need of all, yet it can be challenging to obtain. Right?
Now, you're telling me about that challenging part.
Now, as a station, we just finished our share-a-thon, which is amazing. Thank you to everyone who pledged so that we can continue to do the work of God. Thank you so much. You are extremely blessed. And throughout the week, we, you know, heard and saw people who shared with humility the name of the seed that they were planting in the soil of CCFM.
Mm.
And for many, if not all, their sowing was both in support of the CCFM mandate, but also a financial health creation strategy.
Yes.
Now, there are many ways to build wealth and to improve your financial health. It is important to find the right approach that works for you.
That works for you. I think that is so important. Yes. That we don't all come from the same financial health culture.
Yeah.
So, yes, that is important for you.
Yeah. Mm. Now, this is a tricky question to ask, but Liesel, what is your relationship with money?
If I have to give the short answer, it would be it's a love-hate relationship. Because there's never enough of what we want, and there is sometimes just enough for what we need.
Yeah.
You know, so there's wants and needs.
Yeah.
But I think in answering your question, a very good response would be to start at the beginning, at the beginning. You know, we need to go right. I always say it wrong. Johnny tells me that as well. But I think we need to understand where our behavior comes from and how the health started in the first place.
Okay.
And for me, yes, it is complex in the sense of everything that I started off with was as a result of what I received in the environment where it all happened. And for majority, if not all of us, our first experience with money started in our homes, in our childhood homes.
Yeah.
So for and looking at that, you will understand how your behavior with money is regards to how you acquire it, you know, how you spend it, how you save it, and also, you know, how you grow it as a result of your behavior.
Yeah.
So for me, the attribute of understanding how that happened for me specifically in my house growing up, my father was the one who brought the money in. My mother was the one that was responsible to spend it, and we were never taught about money. There was not enough money for us to get pocket money as such. So as a result, and in school there was never really any classes. I mean, nobody talks about money and what to do with money when you go to school. So for me, when I then started my first job, because everybody was really just making money to survive in the home that I grew up with. Yeah. And I mean, my mother always said there was moments that they really struggled financially. But as a child, I was so protected that I didn't see that the times that we had bread with peanut butter with baked beans and sugar on was actually the times that they struggled. Yeah. But let me not deviate from the point. So for me, there were luxuries that I couldn't get that some of my friends maybe enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And when I got my first job, I earned a decent salary by that time. I was married already. Mm-hmm. We then just lived by virtue of buying the things that our families and everybody else could maybe never afford.
Yeah.
But there was no plan attached to it. It was all about acquiring things which we didn't have ourselves. Mm-hmm. So yes, we were successful in the fact that we could buy a home, we could buy cars, because we were building credit and credit was still new.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there was no plan. We didn't work according to a budget.
Yeah.
We got credit cards that were maxed. So not working with the budget, it was always just filling holes.
Mm-hmm.
And the when everything then flipped was when I was then faced with, I'm now a single mother, the circumstances changed, and then I also went into very toxic behavior. So then again, my relationship with money became so bad that I was solely focused on wanting to prove to everyone that I had enough.
Sure.
But I never had enough to cover everything. Mm-hmm. And that is where the bad money management behavior then started, which inevitably then for me caused even a snowball effect of having been faced. So it affected my ITC scoring. It affected my ability to apply for credit. It affected me my ability to apply for specific types of credit. Like I couldn't do personal loans. I had to do unsecured loans, meaning the interest rate was high.
Yeah.
So I paid more for what I could have gotten for less if and so there was a snowball effect because of bad financial management.
Mm-hmm.
And that in essence also then created further challenges for me. So where I am now, whilst my management of the money is still great, I didn't have enough planning when I started to ensure that I am now in a financial space where I can say, I want to travel the world and there's enough money still left for everything else. I'm still making money to survive and not to live.
To live. And there's a huge difference.
There's a big difference, yes. Yeah. I think, and that is the trap that so many of us can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
We're making money to survive, and we're not living from it because we started so late.
Yeah.
And I think today's conversation needs to be about what is it that we can apply now to ensure that our children, if we don't get it right by the time we retire, that our children at least have a better footing when they get into the financial market.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Now, based on your relationship with money and that has evolved, are there any tips, you know, or cautionary messages that could have potentially safeguarded you from, you know, some of the challenges you lived through?
So I wish my dad had lots of money and there was a trust fund.
Don't we all?
So that is me wishful thinking. But if logically thinking back to what I just said now with my first response is that I think there were certain lessons that we were supposed to be taught when we were younger. For me, the first one was that money was never the problem. So when I started mismanaging my money, I looked at money in a way that it's a problem to have it because you can't manage it. But it was actually because I couldn't manage it. That is why it became a problem for me. And that we, so I think for me, if only somebody taught me in my house, if that didn't happen, there was a church environment. So if we go to youth, it shouldn't just be about fun. What is the fundamentals? You know, every place that a young child goes to needs to be a place where somebody, there's a net to ensure that we cater for things that was probably not covered in your home.
Yeah.
So if it's not in the youth environment, maybe at school, let's start talking about budgeting. Let's start talking about when you get paid, not spending all your money on takeaways.
Yeah.
So for me, those are important. The first lesson: money is not the problem, managing your money is a thing that you need to get right. Second point, which I wish somebody spoke about at a sooner or at the earlier stage, is the fact that being financially dependent on another person is not the right thing. So I understand there's the marriage dynamic, but if you're in a relationship specifically, that as an individual, you need to also have your own passive type of income if you're not employed. Mm-hmm. If you are employed, you budget together. We do things together, but always make sure that you pay yourself too. So how do you pay yourself? By saving for the things that you want at the later stage. Again, it requires a bit of planning that you need to do. But don't become so dependent on somebody else to pay you, because if that the one person loses their job or something happens as a result of what their financial management, then you will also be impacted. So maintain your financial independence.
Sure.
Okay. So together but still separate. I hope my husband is listening. But what is his is also mine.
Yes.
Okay, but we can talk about that in a later stage. I think the third thing that we should have been taught at as young children was the fact that, and I might upset a few people, but it needs to be said, there's a danger in tithing what you cannot afford. And I want to say it again. There's a danger in tithing what you cannot afford. And I want to make it personal. So for me, as a single mother, after I went through that very toxic stage of my lifetime, and I made many financial mistakes, my budget just did not clock. But I wanted to honor the principle of tithing, because we were taught that. And it's right. There's a principle connected to it. But what I did was not very wise. I took money that was intended for my children's school fees, money that was intended for our food, money that was intended for sometimes for rent to ensure that I make, because that was the first thing that went out of my. And it was, the intention was right, but my planning was out. And I needed to consult with the Lord there, because I needed to be rehabilitated in terms of my financial mismanagement of my tithing. And when I started realizing, it was too late, because my tithes were paid, but my children's school fees was in arrears. My tithes were paid, but I didn't pay my place where I stayed. So there was just a snowball of other things. And we do it out of, because we want to honor that commitment. So for me, in that, I think when you're stuck in a rut like that, where you feel, you see there's no, because it's also a faith exercise, that you understand you need to speak to somebody, make it known what your situation is, tithe with your time, tithe with something else, until it is recalibrated, and allow the Lord to guide you on the seed that you need to plant, because not every seed is going to grow if you plant it in the wrong soil. And that's a teaching where that is concerned. For me, so understand that the danger of tithing your living budget is not always wise. Consult, speak to somebody, so that you can ensure that what you need for your living expenses is also covered. And then the fourth point that I wish I was taught by my parents or anybody that was a bit older than me is that, Liesl, you need to put your oxygen mask on for yourself first. And I need to explain this. As a parent, we always spend so much money on our children's school fees and the education and everything. But the reality is, we're getting older. So if I think from a budget and a ratio point of view, majority of my budget spent on resources like for education or for retirement, a bigger percentage was paid towards my children's school fees. I couldn't increase my percentage contribution for my pension fund because I was more focused on the education. Now, I'm not saying that we need to take our children out of the great schools that they're in, but understanding that our children has, there's an opportunity for our children to apply for bursaries, for sponsorships and that.
Or even exemption.
So, but if we retire and we don't have money, who's going to look after us? So then it's the cycle then where our children, they need to look after us the way we need to look after our parents. So we need to make provision for our retirement now, bigger portion to be put away so that we're not reliant on government. I know I'm talking a lot, but I think these are lessons that I missed that created certain pitfalls. And the fifth point is, start saving when you get your first paycheck. If I started saving when I started my first job, which was when I was 19 years old, I could have been a millionaire.
A billionaire.
A billionaire, yes. not multimillionaire, a billionaire. So and I mean, this and that is wealth is created over time.
Yep.
But what we did, what I did, I created debt.
Mm-hmm.
And I never created a mountain for my wealth. So yeah. Start, if somebody told me, start saving at a young. That is why the interaction with the youth is so important, because teaching them in the different spaces that they move in, which is school, church, or even the youth, let's create these workshops so that they can learn and become better versions of what we were when we were younger.
True. And I will tap into that. You mentioned that, you know, we will fall into a cycle where now the kids are looking after the elderly parents. I want to quickly ask about black tax.
I wonder if people know what black tax is.
I want us to just briefly touch on black tax, you know. And for those who don't know, it's just almost like you are then repaying
Your parents for what they've given,
even from your first job or form of employment.
Yeah.
And also jumping to the next question, which is, what does the Bible say about financial health? What can you say with regards to black tax and the parents who makes it something that is compulsory for them to adhere to start looking after them even from the first job?
Yeah. So I think it's important to mention that black tax is a result of mismanagement over centuries of generations. And for us now is living in the black tax era to stop, because our parents didn't make provision for themselves, because they were either financially dependent on one person's source of income, or they needed to get the children to school. And now we need to give back to them for all they have done. And yes, they have done a lot, because look where we are sitting today. But it is extremely, it places you who pay the tax at a complete disadvantage, meaning you need to work so much harder to save. So money that was intended for saving now needs to go as a tax. And we're using the word black tax because it's a term, but to make sure that your parents are taken care of. So we need to ensure that our children are then better positioned. And that is where the black tax behavior changes. That when we teach our children that the cycle stops here, we can't stop halfway in the cycle, because there's a responsibility. But we need to ensure that the next generation do not carry the burden of financial mismanagement because we didn't get it right. So, for example, I don't particularly like it if children that are adult who's working live for free. Okay. However, don't charge them what they will pay outside of your house. So that, or tell them X amount and put X amount away for them, which they can use as a deposit for a house. Simple philosophy. Because then you assist your children to give them a better footing. Wouldn't it be nice for us to tell our children when they buy their first home to say, look what I have put aside. All the time that you paid me rent, I placed aside a certain amount for you. And that is how we can fix the whole black tax scenario and impact on our next generations. Does that make sense? Did I answer your question?
You did. It does.
Because, I mean, there's still a responsibility, because our parents did a lot, but they're also living in the consequences of poor financial management that happened in the past. So the right behavior now is going to impact a better financial footing in the future.
Now, tapping to the Word of God, what does the Bible say about financial health?
Okay, there's a couple of pointers that I wrote down, and I wanted to bring it back to Scripture, because we need to connect it to Scripture. That is the foundation of everything that we move in. Firstly, I think set priorities, and you can find that in Proverbs 24, verse 27. It says, prepare your outside work, make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward build your house. Doesn't make sense. Why must you go to the field first and then build your house? But it's the principle of making sure that there's income. So now we work, get the income that you work for. But what is the passive income that you could potentially still get? Or mother who is at home, who can blow hair, who can make those fed cooker, who can make the donuts. It is income. Let's make build the field so that the home is sorted,
yeah,
and let's minimize the luxuries. That is the priorities that we need to set.
Yeah.
Work with the budget. Second point, I think Luke 14 verse 28 says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and then count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" And that is a scripture that speaks about budgeting. I learned the hard way of not budgeting, of just spending frivolously and not really seeing where the holes in your net is. But if you budget, you know exactly what comes in, what you spend, and make sure that you set a limit on expenses like, you know, entertainment.
Yeah.
There needs to be, we're not saying live, because that's the thing. When you work to survive and you don't live, it means that you don't enjoy the money that you earn.
Yeah.
But set a limit. Okay. That is work with the budget. Then build an emergency fund. Oh my goodness. An emergency fund covers like when your car needs to be fixed. You know, if you don't have medical aid, but you need to get your children to hospital, then you have an emergency fund. Make sure that you have money for those unforeseen expenses. It actually helps you. And then the Bible speaks about it in Genesis 41 verse 34 to 36. And he says, "Let Pharaoh do this. And let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh." This is now Joseph speaking. But so he built up an emergency fund in the years that things went well. So when the 7 bad years came, there was a fund and there resources enough for everyone to actually serve the connecting nations. And then fourth, steer clear of debt. Yes, we understand that we need homes and we need vehicles. I don't consider that as bad debt. That is good debt, because we need a house to live in. We need vehicles to drive with. That is a way of understanding that we, it's a way and of a means, and it's also an investment. And Proverbs 22 speaks about it. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. When you're indebted, you are slave to the person who owns the money, and we need to break free from it. So how do you stop the cycle of debt? Stop it first, and then start paying off the debt with the highest interest first, so that you can save on it, and meaning paying extra when you have extra to reduce your total interest that is still due on the account. And then lastly, I think before we leave, is to draft a financial plan. So I'm not a financial planner. But somebody can sit with you and look at your, you know, do a projection based on your lifestyle, based on the number of children that you have, the area that you live in, and what you like to do when you retire. And this person will tell you exact to the point how much money you would need to save and put away to live comfortably when you retire at the age of 65 and older. And we all need that type of conversation. So we plan for our future that we don't even know what it's going to look like. But it sets us up at the, and it puts us at a better footing.
Sure.
So this is such a, it's very different to our other conversations, but I think it's so much, it's needed.
It's needed. It is needed, because I would often look at, you know, pensioners or other senior citizens, and they are working, if they're not working, or Uber drivers. I would ask myself, what went wrong? Like, this person is 65 plus years and they are an Uber driver. What went wrong financially? You know, and this topic today serves to break that curse,
the cycle
as well. And for someone who's listening, you know, Lizel was saying, I hear you. You say I should put an end to, you know, me asking for a loan and, you know, putting myself into debt. But how do I do it? Because that is what I'm used to, pay a particular amount and borrow another particular amount.
That's a very difficult response to give, but I'm going to start again. I need to make it relatable to me. For me, more than 70% of my net salary in the past used to go to personal loans.
That is a lot.
And let me tell you why. It's because I couldn't buy a car through West Bank, so I needed to take out a personal loan to buy a car that was decent enough for the for mother and then my children's school fees. But it ended up being such a burden. So I think it starts with making a decision that what I get now, I am going to cut down on the things that are actually not as important now. Mm. So if you have DSTV full package, for example, stop it and then get yourself Netflix. Mm. Or speak to a friend who has Netflix. Oh, Netflix, I hope they're not listening. But ask if you could use their password until they stop it. Anyways, there's a way to do it. That's a silly example. Mm. But also reduce the number of takeaways that you buy, because that also costs money. And so I can give you a list of, but just start. And also clothing accounts. Mm. Start putting money away for every 3 months. You're going to buy clothes, and then you buy clothes cash. There's such a liberation to that.
One could even lay-by.
Or lay-by, better. Know? So there are many ways around it, but you need to have the intent first, meaning make a decision, I am going to not borrow anymore.
Yeah.
Look at your budget, work on a plan, and what is it that you can cut away, and what can you start doing differently to grow your wealth? It took time to break your wealth down to the condition that it is now. It's going to take time to recover, but it's going to require action, so it is possible. And then 3 months from now, 3 years from now, you're going to look back and you're going to thank yourself for starting.
Yeah,
and that is the important point.
Sure. I know someone who's very close to me who would often say, whenever we're going to like plan a holiday as a family and it was like, Saike, purpose over pleasure. Is this in order? Is this in order? And that in order?
Yeah.
So I think that person got, you know, the gist of that. Tuguti, we need to prioritize, as you mentioned, the first point biblically. We need to set our priorities straight. Now, before I let you go, as it is 11:42, do you have any closing statements?
Yes, I do. I think as a generation now, and because we want to equip the future generation, we owe it to ourselves and our next generation to actually proactively manage our finances today, so that we get our financial health better, because we have the power to influence the change. And that change is deep-rooted in ourselves, not anybody else. We make the decision. We start having the conversation. We start equipping so that whilst we're building our own wealth, our next generation starts afresh. And their foundation is a little bit better than what ours ever were. So it is a two-prong approach. We cannot just work on ourselves and forget about the next generation. So as we build on ourselves and make the right choices, we also equip our next generation to make sure that it's purpose over pleasure.
There we go. Violet is saying good morning. I love the present topic with Liesl. Will you be able to send me the notes or Liesl's contact? I think what we can
do. That's a beautiful name.
You know, is to have this as a podcast. And of course, by all means, where can people follow you or contact you if they want more or to consult with you?
So you can contact me on my social media pages. It's Liesl Snyman. Or Ken Sukuroi Consulting, and it's KINTSUKUROI Consulting. And if you want to send me a WhatsApp, and I will respond eventually, it's 083-226-8992. And 083-226-8992.
Thank you so much. And she will be back 2 weeks from now, touching on yet another topic that I believe will be shaping us to become better individuals. And all of this information, Liesl, comes from bits and pieces from your book, right?
It comes from bits and pieces from my book, yes.
Wow. And they can still purchase a book
They can still purchase a book either with myself, then you get a signed copy, but it's also available at Exclusive Books and retails at 220 Rand.
There you go. Liesl, thank you so much. Have an amazing day.
Thank you, Sister Queen, and thank you, everyone. It's always lovely visiting with you all.
Yeah, thank
you. And make the right choices, right?
Yes, we need to.